Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Another tough one in the Superdome, folks. The Saints fall into the San Francisco 49ers, 26-21. We're still in good spirits here at the Swamp Room because we're hanging out at one of the best places to be. Get your Swamp Burger or wings when you come by. Stay hey and hoot at to the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, here at the Point After. Man, Cajun Cannon, another tough one for this black and gold bunch. 26-21 to the San Francisco 49ers. They put up a heck of a fight, but once again, though, end up on the short end of things. I'm kind of tired of saying that.
Well, I mean, it's not PE class. Did you win or lose?
Yeah, exactly.
No, the Saints are going to play hard. I think they're going to be competitive, but I'd rather win ugly than all of a sudden. You know, I was entertained, and we lost. No, you have to win, and the Saints not doing enough to come away with a win. And you look 26-21. You know, we've played like almost 80 times, like 78 times. And half of the games have been decided by touchdown or less in the history of 49ers and Saints, and it was 26-21. You look at it now, they've won 50 times, we've won 27, and, you know, two ties. So, the 49ers, you have to say they've had our number. It's just the way it is. You can't say, well, we're going to beat them without Brock Purdy. They were 0-3 without Brock Purdy. Now they're 1-3.
Like you would say, not so fast.
Yeah,
now.
Not so fast. I thought we had a great chance to make them 0-4, you know, without Brock Purdy starting to go in the game. But obviously that did not happen. The one thing that did happen and I thought would occur is that both Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey would get off because they've always gotten off in these games. If you look at it, and this is not an opinion, I said this in the pregame, there was only two of four active players with a career average of 100-plus scrimmage yards per game, and that's their career. It was Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and Jonathan Taylor. Well, you look today, McCaffrey on 19 touches. I think they want to be around that 20 mark. He had 107 total yards from scrimmage. He came into the game in 10 career games now Guess what he is against the Saints? Right around 100 yards. Coming in, he was 95.3, 95 and a half, you could say. Today, he ended up having 107. Now, Kamara, I think on the fumble, trying to do a little too much. You know, if he could have lived to fight another day, you can't expose that ball like that. You got a guy like Fred Warner, who is a ball hog. That didn't surprise me. He's all pro, kind of like DeMario Davis. He ended up having 11 total tackles, 7 an assist, a tackle for loss, pass defended, a forced fumble, and he recovered that fumble when that occurred. But looking at Kamara, this is what I think needed to be the case. You know, we talked to Coach Moore and then the coaches show and all that. And Alvin cannot have a game where he's not touching the ball at least 20 times.
Right.
First game, he had 13 touches, 57 yards, total yards from scrimmage. Today, he if you look at it, 27 touches, 121 total yards from scrimmage. I think that's the formula for the offense to help out Spencer Rattler when that occurs. Now, you look at Mac Jones. I don't know. We made Mac Jones, I'm not saying all pro, but we made him look like a legit starter considering, you know, when all was said and done, he had a quarterback rating of 113. But we didn't take no interceptions. He had 3 touchdowns, but no picks. Right on, he was on pace to have a 300-yard gain. He ended up having 279. But Mac Jones is 3 touchdowns and 0 interception performance. Was just the 3rd time he's done that in his career, and the first time since week 16 of his rookie season of 2021.
Ouch.
With the Patriots when they beat the Jaguars like 50-10. So this one, your normal, there's no way 49ers fans can say, oh, we had confidence in Mac Jones that he was going to bring us to victory. No. We did not discourage him for not playing with a lot of confidence. Now, looking from a defensive perspective, back-to-back games, Carl Granison showed up. Not so much on the stat line with Cam Jordan. You know, Cam Jordan ended up having 1 tackle. That's why we need Chase Young to be more disruptive. I thought at times, when you look at Mac Jones, way too much time to throw. We were not affecting him enough. Now, we ended up with 3 sacks. Chris Rump came up with a nice sack. He had a quarterback hurry, tackle for loss. He also had the forced fumble that was recovered by DeMario Davis. And DeMario Davis, that didn't surprise me. He led the team in tackles with 11. He was tied and assisted with Sanker, the rookie. They both had 5. But I would say who really stood out on the defensive side would be Carl Granderson.
The Grandy man.
And Chris Rump, who's familiar with Brandon Staley's scheme. So that was a good sign. The one I thought didn't show up and got picked on, and they were familiar with him, was Isaac Yiadom. He was on their team last year, so they were going after him. They weren't going away from Isaac. And Alante Taylor. I thought he'd be more Kool-Aid, but no, it was not Kool-Aid. He had that one hands to the face penalty. I think we'd have had a 3-and-out at the beginning of the second half. But, yeah, I thought that Alante Taylor definitely has to play a lot better. And Isaac Yiadom, I don't know. He's going to be like week to week, I think, if he is the future. That's why we drafted Riley from Louisville to maybe end up being the guy there. Now, looking at overall what occurred, the same song and dance, not good. It was just like preseason, third down. We got to be more consistent. We got to get off the field. Coach Moore said that on third down.
You told me halftime, same old Saints.
Yeah, a team can't deal with 50% converting on third down. They were 8 of 15, 53%. And one time we were 0-for, Steve. I know on third down we were not good at the beginning.
It took forever, right?
Yeah. We were all of a sudden 0-for-4 on third down to start the game. And then we got a little better, but 4-11, 36%. No, that's not winning football. We need to flip that. Again, I might be saying the same song and dance every week. But, no, we need to be hovering around high 40s or low 50s as far as third down conversions. And if you're top defense, you're holding your opponent to 30-some percent. Well, that's the one thing, how you control on the ebb and flow of the game.
At least we were 3-for-3 in the red zone.
No, not exactly. We were good in the red zone.
Goodness.
That's one thing Spencer Rattler has not been in practice or anything. We get in the red zone, you can't be selling for field goals. We were 3-for-3. But then we need to force field goals defensively.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to take away the football, but you can't let them go 2-for-2 in the red zone. We have to be able to force field goals. I thought great balance as far as the play calling by Kellen Moore. We ended up having 30 rushing attempts, average 4.1, and we threw 35 passes. I think that's about right. We don't want Spencer Rattler throwing it over 35 times or 40 times a game. So that was good balance there. net punting average, how you trying to flip the field. With Kroger, not so good. 37.5. You might say, well, Bobby, what do you want? A 42.5. That's 5 yards different, but that is major. Morstead was 37.5, so that was a wash. So 37.5, the same, but that was not good. For us to win, we got to be more opportunistic. Again, like the last game, to kick off the season against the Cardinals, did we win the turnover margin? No. We didn't lose it, but we didn't win it. We got to be like plus one. You know, we got to take it away and we got to protect it. So let's say like when Kamara fumbled. So we got to get two back. You know, whether it's an interception or fumble, so we plus one instead of even. We need all the help we can get right now to try and win a game. I think Spencer Rattler's fighting his behind off. You can look at his effort on his runs, moving the sticks and all, but that was really frustrating. Now, we got better. I don't know what the coach told him at halftime, but situational penalties. Now, I always tell you, you know, nine penalties or more or 100 yards. No, it's like giving up a touchdown. Well, what did we have in the first half? Then we have like five penalties. I think we ended up with seven for 45 yards. So that was a terrible first half.
Correct.
As far as penalties. So that wasn't good. And for us to have a chance, come on, Blake Groupie. I have never seen. He was unbelievable in training camp, but you have to do it when the games count. That was a 40-yard field goal. And you think about how all those points matter, that if he makes that field goal, now I don't know how the game's going to turn out. But let's say the game would have been 26-24. Then we only need a field goal at the end to win. And you have a chance to have the game-winning kick instead of having to go score a touchdown. So all those things come into play when all said and done. And I thought in the return game, looking at Rashid Shaheed, this is winning football. Anytime you're returning at double digits, he had 11.5-yard average. He had that long gain of 19 in a punt return. Kendre Miller. Now, I know we didn't just draft him this high just to be a kick returner. Now, he only averaged 1.6 yard a carry. Now, he had five attempts, but Alvin Kamara averaged 4.8. So we need to have Kendre Miller around that area. But he had that one good kick return, I thought, 34 yards. That was nice. But in the return game, I think we had good production there when you look at as far as field position. But, again, I think we might be saying this a lot, so close but so far. 26-21. I think they're playing hard, but you don't get brownie points.
Right.
Yeah, you don't get participation trophy. I mean, a loss is a loss. Now the Saints are 0-2.
Congratulations, you played hard.
Yeah, no. And it's not going to get easier. It's going to be a monumental upset, I'm telling you, if we go to Seattle and win. It's going to be a hostile environment. And I know the 49ers came up with a win, and they were in a dogfight. So I think we can be in a dogfight against Seattle. Hopefully that's the case. But I would be surprised if we win. Same thing at Buffalo. Come on. We're going against the Bills. So that's why I thought we had to win one of these games. That'd be the Cardinals or the 49ers. Now, with that being said, I thought we'd beat the 49ers. I mean, beat the Cardinals and I beat the 49ers. And the 49ers are all banged up. I thought, well, we can be 1-1 because we were playing them at the right time to come away with a victory. And obviously that was not the case. And I'm still ticked off, though.
Real quick, Cajun Cannon, let's pause 10 seconds. Okay. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here at the point after at the Swamp Room. The Saints falling 26-21 to the San Francisco 49ers. Sorry I cut you off, Cajun Cannon.
No,
what was bugging you?
No, what's bugging me is like, look, and I'm a capitalist. If you want, you pay your hard-earned money, and you want to sell your tickets, sell your tickets. If the Saints are winning, people aren't selling their tickets.
But this disgusting, Bobby.
We used to play the 49ers and Joe Montana. They were winning Super Bowls and all that. They weren't no damn 49er fans like that because all the Saints fans wanted to be in that number. It was like a sea of red.
But the Saints are on offense. You're hearing defense chants.
Well, especially in the red zone. I'm hearing defense. Now,
BS.
The 49ers, we in the red zone. And the 49er fans are chanting that. It kind of reminded me of the Lions game when there was all that all blue. Then we played Detroit, but Detroit finally was
that
winning.
Honolulu blue everywhere.
But that was fans coming down from Michigan. All them damn fans ain't coming from California. No. The thing is, if you're from Louisiana, how can you cheer for the 49ers? Now, is your uncle, your grandma from California? Or were you on that bandwagon because of Joe Montana? I mean, I'm going to tell you, you know, like, oh, I like the Steelers because they used to win. My grandpa told me, about the Steelers. or it could be the Cowgirls. You know, they ain't won in over a quarter of a century. So I don't know. If you're from Texas, yeah, you could cheer for Dallas. But to me, if you're in the Gulf Coast, Gulf South, the Saints should be a priority. And it was not really a home game. It was almost like we were playing at a neutral site when you really think about it. You know how when you have a kickoff game in college, they're playing in Dallas. It might be LSU against Oregon or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Then that's what it's kind of like, the atmosphere. But, hey, how you change that? You win games and everybody wants to be in that number. But when you say, like, who sold their tickets? That lower bowl behind the 49ers bench, that was all red.
Sea of red.
Yeah, sea of red.
Saints falling 26-21 to San Francisco, now 0-2 on the year. We're here at the Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Make sure you stop by, say hoo to the Cajun Cannon, hang out, have a burger, some wings. We'll be right back with more, so stay tuned here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Rough Sunday for the black and gold. Saints falling 26-21 to the San Francisco 49ers, now 0-2 on the season. We're back here on the Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Folks, American Safety, for each point scored by the Saints this season, American Safety will donate $50 to disaster relief. American Safety, stronger than the storm, and right here with you. Cajun Cannon, what you got your finger up for me?
No,
I'm not
like,
the middle one.
Okay. Listen, I'm not saying that I'm playing hard and all that, like Chris Olave. I don't know, Juwan Johnson, it took too long for them to get into the game. How about it hit your hands, you catch it?
No, drops were definitely an early issue.
Okay, woulda, coulda, shoulda. We could have been up at least by 10 points at the beginning of the game.
Correct.
I think instead of, you know, you're behind and all you're trying to play catch up. How about, I know that ball was behind you, you want to be a number one receiver. How about you make the great catch, then you get paid like a number one receiver? Juwan Johnson had a couple of drops, so he got going. Oh, well, I'm not targeted. No, he got targeted 10 times. Chris Olave, he caught 6. His long gain was 13. Rashid Shaheed, he had that long gain of 39 yards, came up with a touchdown. Juwan Johnson, remember I told you Juwan Johnson's going to get his targets. He had 9 targets, but he had 5 catches. Well, you know, he should have caught 2 more than that.
Absolutely.
So those are the kind of plays we have to make. I'm not worried about Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara is going to be like every team would take Alvin Kamara like Christian McCaffrey. No, it's all the other cats that we have to get going. And the offensive line, truly, you can never let Kellen Moore get discouraged. We're not going to try and run the ball. Because I'm telling you, might say that first game, to me, that was a mistake. Spencer Rattler, how many times he threw the first game, Steve? Well, was it like 40-something?
Yeah, it was in the 40s.
Listen, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, yeah, I would say the less of Drew is more. You don't want Drew Brees throwing over 40 times. You got to keep defenses off balance. And I'm not just saying because that's Spencer Rattler. That's any quarterback. So now we got to win in the trenches offensive line. Okay, that's 2 weeks in a row. We've done well. Look at average per carry.
Yep.
You know, 4.1. Look at Spencer Rattler. He only ran for 14 yards, had that long gain of 9 yards, but that's some tough runs he made. Spencer Rattler's fighting his behind off. Now, can he please get a win? So somebody get that monkey off his back and help him out. So what is he now? Is he like 0-7?
0-8.
Hey, and he's fighting. I like he's handling adversity. You might say, Shuck. You think Shuck would have made a difference today? I don't. Now, maybe down the road, Chuck might have an opportunity, but Spencer Rattler is not the reason why we 0-2. He's not the reason. You might say, well, he don't make enough plays, and we need more a franchise quarterback
like Josh Allen. He can't have his receivers catching the ball.
Yes. I mean, come on. Now, Bobby, are you just taking up for the quarterback? No, I'm keeping it real. If you hit your hands, all of y'all might have played with your dad in the backyard, and you play pitch and catch. And you might, nobody's around, and then you might say your dad throws a bad pass, and in his boat your hands and you drop it. And then your dad said, come on, catch it. Go, well, that was a terrible pass. No, it hit your hands, catch it. Come on.
Yeah, that makes me think. I remember I got mad at my dad once. He was playing catch in the yard with baseball. Throws me a big pop fly, boom, hits me in the head. And he's like, I'm going, Dad, what'd you do that? He's like, well, you got to practice, you know, fly balls as well. I threw it up for you. You got to catch it.
Catch it. Come on, be athletic. Don't be as fast. Come on. I mean, that's why, like, Olave, I think Rashid Shaheed, I think he is what he is. And, again, 5 targets, 4 catches, 52 yards. a touchdown. I think he could still explode and run a punt return for a touchdown. I think Kendra Miller might break a kickoff return for a touchdown. We need all the help we could get. And the one thing I say we have to be more opportunistic is take away the football. You know, take it away. Like if Kamara, now he should have went down, lift the fight another day. But if we gave up a fumble, they gave up a fumble, you know, with Chris Rump forcing that fumble. That was a big play. But we got to be 2-for-1. Somehow, can we end up +1 or +2? Because that margin of error is so slim for us. That's the difference of whether you're winning or losing or have an opportunity to win.
Saints falling to the San Francisco 49ers in week 2 of action in the Caesars Superdome. It's a 26-21 final. We're going to take a break here on the Point After at the Swamp Room. Stop by and say hey. We'll be right back with even more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions apply.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Back here at the Swamp Room, hanging out at the Point After, and Cajun Cannon getting to eat some delicious wings right now.
Oh, yeah, the wings are awesome. I know the Swamp Room is famous for their burgers, but those wings are pretty damn good.
They aren't tasty. We're going to check in on our WWL Talk and Text line. You can sound off as well, 504-260-1870. Are you ready to play a little psychiatrist for everybody, I guess, today, Cajun
Cannon? Hey, listen, hopefully it's way too early to call somebody off the Huey P. Long. You know, don't jump. No, we don't need to do that. Listen, I know you'd rather be 2-0 or 1-1 than 0-2, but I warn you, you gotta be patient. Now, who's patient this day? I always say this when you have drive through. I want it now. Well, I'm patient. They're pros. It's pros versus pros. I can tell you right now, I can't believe how many people come up to me. Bobby, you think we're going to win a game? Hell yeah, they're going to win a game. Listen, it's pros versus pros. It's almost harder not to win a game. Some game, the ball's going to bounce away or whatever it might be, +2 or +3.
Fingers crossed.
And we're going to win a game. It's hard to be like the Lions that one season that they went 0-16. I was talking with Scott Chandler, you know, the linebacker. He said, no, Bobby, I played against that Lions team, and they were bad. They were really bad, and so that didn't surprise me. They didn't win a game. But this Saints team is not that team. Now, whether they win 5 games, I mean, that's unacceptable. And that'd be the same season they had last year. But then there's always hope. I mean, Buddy D did this show. It's like, it's coming December. Like, oh, and you're getting calls. Buddy, who you think we're going to draft? Wait, the season ain't even over yet. You talking about the draft already?
I don't want to think about draft
shows.
No, right.
But no, so we're not there yet. No, whether Mickey Loomis and the organization wants to admit it, we are rebuilding. Think about this. We just signed a wide receiver and Coach Moore, Kellen Moore Connor
traded
on it.
Traded for.
Now think about this. We traded for him and he's out for the season. So you don't think we're thinking of the future? We're thinking of him like 2026 and beyond.
Yeah.
So, Steve, you can later in the show, you bring up, because the fans want to know, why in the hell we got this guy? He can't even play this year. But they're thinking of the future.
Right.
And the potential that he's going to be part of the receiving corps. That's where we're at right now. So, again, I'm just telling you, we love our Saints. But now it's truly rebuilding post Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Now we all know that. It is truly like Kellen Moore's team. I think they're playing hard for him, and we're just going to have to weather the storm. Now, again, we might be 0-4. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we might have a second line if we beat the Seahawks or the Bills. I mean, that's why I think this that highly improbable.
I'm ready to dance. I just want to
victory. Well, I mean, just think about this. This is almost Mike Ditka days. That you're playing at home and we're underdogs. What? We're playing in the Superdome and we're underdogs. We were like the same type of underdog as the Cardinals game, like 6.5, but then the quarterback's out, Kittle's out, so then it goes from 2.5 to 3 instead of 6.5. So I'm telling you, that's why you keep it in perspective. Look, the Saints are playing at home and we're not even favored. And it's not like we're playing, the Eagles are coming to town. Or like the Bills, whoever you might think is the best in the NFL. No, the first game was the Cardinals. What is the freaking Cardinals one? You know, but it's just Vegas don't care who wins.
They're a team that's further along in their rebuild, though.
Yeah, and how they address the defense and all that. And then Kyler Murray, they invested $150 million in him. But then, you know, you look at the quarterback and all that. That's why I thought it was a great opportunity for us to come away with a win. Because it wasn't Brock Purdy. I'm a Brock Purdy fan. Brock Purdy is not Mr. Irrelevant. He's Mr. Relevant. I'm telling you, for the 49ers.
Well, now we had Pro Bowler Mac Jones today.
Yeah, he played with too much. We didn't get influence him enough. He had too much time to throw.
Right.
That's where we missed Chase Young. And Chase Young, I'm telling you, Chase Young in training camp, when we went against the Rams just handily beat
Bobby,
the Titans today.
You said.
No, Chase Young, I'm saying, he'll have double-digit sacks. I see him winning every day in practice. And not only kick our linemen behind, but was kicking the Rams line. He was that good. I mean, he'll have double-digit sacks. But then, the season starts, he's not healthy. We've been kind of snake-bit like the 49ers as far as who's hurt, who's not
for
hurt.
Sure.
Like, who's playing? No, the 49ers have been snake bit with injuries because they went from the penthouse to the outhouse last year. You know, the 49ers were dead last in the NFC West. They only won 6 games last year. And the 49ers are not that bad. It's because, oh, next man up. Who's the next man? No, like Christian McCaffrey don't play for them? No, the next man can't hold Christian McCaffrey's job. Come on. So it doesn't matter who's playing, and you have to have luck with injuries. No excuse, because you still got to find a way to win. Look at the 49ers. They're right now 2-0 after only winning 6 games last year.
Taking a break here at the point after.
We'll go to the callers, I promise you.
We're going to get to you for sure, but first we'll take a break. We'll get back right here next on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Folks, who dat? Saints Port After, brought to you by McDonald's. We're hanging out here at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Make sure you stop by right here on Veterans Boulevard. Saints, unfortunately, falling to the San Francisco 49ers, 26-21. Dr. Hebert has checked in. You can line up and voice all of your grievances to him. 504-260-1870 on our WWL Talk and Text line. Going to check in with Hector in New Orleans right now. Who dat, Hector? What you got for us today?
Hey, guys. So for me, it's a matter of how we improve from week to week. In order for us to be successful, the only way I see it is that we got to improve on third down efficiency on both sides of the ball.
Amen.
That means if you catch in the pass, Olave, don't slip and fall. Continue to go on. make a good catch. Don't let the ball hit your hands. On the defensive side, if you got him stopped on third down and 13, don't let a penalty kill it off. But that's going to be the success for us going forward, how we handle our third down efficiency. But I will say this much, Bobby, to your point earlier. I'm impressed with Spencer Rattler. I wasn't in training camp, but I'm going to tell you what. For me, I think he improved from week one to week two.
Yes, I agree.
I'm looking for him to improve more. But I am going to say this, Bobby. This has been eating at me since last week, and these things shouldn't happen. Blake Groupie can't be missing these easy field goals.
No, we're not that good. And listen, he got to make all his kicks like he did in training camp. And we're not asking him to make a 58-yarder, even though we've seen him make that. We've seen him 50. No, he's missing
40
like
today.
The 40, like two kidneys. I mean, he got to make that.
Here's the thing. Granderson and Runk bailed him out. Because on that first series coming out of halftime, his kick didn't even go into the landing zone, so we got penalized. So it's like, I don't know if he's like taking time off or whatever. He says, well, you know, I can make the kick, and he doesn't make the kick. But that's going to hurt us in these real close games. He can't be doing that.
Well, the thing is, I don't know a kicker's psychology, but I know... No, you have to be mental. Once that is clear, you got to be mentally tough. But kickers are a different cat. I mean, come on. One of my best friends, Martin Anderson, is a kicker. And from a psychological standpoint, no, it can mess with you when all of a sudden, I got to make it. And the pressure that comes with that, because you can make them all in practice, but you got to make them in the game. And you cannot be missing kicks that, in this day and age, if it's to me, I'm not even going to say 50 yards. Let's say 45 yards. That should be like a long extra point. It should be automatic. And now he's missed two kicks. What was in the first game? It was a 30-some yard, and this is a 40-yarder? I mean, come on. That we need all them damn points to try and win.
Our kicker got too big of a head.
No, I don't know.
I'm kidding.
No, I don't know. But, I mean, all I know is when the game's all said and done, on that last drive, like I said, you make that kick early. We don't know how the game's going to unfold. But all of a sudden, you don't think it makes a difference if the score would have been like 26-24 and, you know, the last drive. You don't have to get a touchdown. All you need is a field goal to win.
Sure.
Just look like what happened in overtime today between the Cowgirls and the Giants. I mean, that went into overtime. What did their damn kicker make? Didn't he make a 61-yarder or something? How much? 64. It's longer than Tom Dempsey. Tom Dempsey made a 63-yard. No, kickers today, now it's like they expect you. Now, if it's over 60, then it's like, okay. But now they're expecting you between 50 and 55. No, you got to make those kicks. And then punters. One time our punter, Kroger, he punted the ball sitting right by watching the game, Steve.
Yeah.
And I was like, he kicked it 4 yards deep in the end zone? No, that has to be inside the 10-yard line, like when he got the ball on the 8-yard line instead of putting it on the 20. All those liberty
things. The net was what, like 27 yards it ended up being?
The net was terrible.
Right.
Angling punt, you got to be – it's that much perfection where, instead of getting the ball on the 8-yard line, getting the 20, like one less first down you have to make. All those little things matter.
Well, we're rolling on here on the point after. Good news, Cajun Cannon, looking at the scoreboard right now around the NFL. Arizona Cardinals are taking it to the Carolina Panthers. It's 20-3 at the half in Arizona.
Well, they got Little Bryce. What is Little Bryce doing? I mean, he didn't do nothing week one. Everybody wants to be on the Panthers bandwagon, that's two games so far. And I know it's only a half. They might come back the second half. But now, for six quarters, as Carolina showed up this season or what?
Yeah, Bryce has passed. He's 11 of 17, 111 yards with an interception.
But they lose 20
to 3. No touchdown passes, though.
But 20 to 3. Well, and then week one, I think they got shellacked, if I can recall.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't pretty around the NFC South. The only team that won was Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay beating Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, but
tonight we got the Dirty Birds in action.
Yeah, they kind of blew their game. You know, they changed their kicker.
Right.
You know, they finally got rid of Koo, the Koo Young from Korea and stuff. Yeah. So they got rid of him. And but he's always made the kicks against us. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Again, the life of a kicker. I mean, they're weird. Kickers are weird, I'm telling you. Either they're really hot or all of a sudden, then they got to go to a sports psychologist to get their mind right.
Speaking of sports psychologists, that's the Cajun Cannon right now taking your calls on our WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. We're taking a break here at the Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. We'll be back with even more. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat, folks? We're back here at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Saints falling 26-21 to the San Francisco 49ers. Cajun Cannon, we're going back to our therapy line, and we've got another Steve. Steve in California wants to sound off. What you got for us on the Point After, Steve?
Three players I want to call out, Ruiz, Groupe, and Warner. These are Dennis Allen holdovers. They're not, should not be on the team. I say get rid of them. And then also, there was some questionable, defensive play calling because it just seemed too easy. They got down there, got a touchdown in a minute at the second half. That's not how you respond. And then Juwan Johnson, he's shown he's not a number one. You know, he's a good backup player, but man, he can't make important catches for this team. And you could tell the way Kellen Moore looked away. He's done with that guy. He's just going to use him as a backup going forward.
Well, what about Chris Olave? Rattle it to Chris Olave, and I threw it behind him. That was a touchdown. Incomplete, and Groupie missed a 40-yard field goal.
I think Olave is getting traded. I think we're loading up on receivers so we can get rid of Olave because he's always either injured or he's just coming
up. No, he falls down. Okay. That's something like Chris Olave, too. You know, it's, do you have the right cleats on? He's slipping too much. There was one time he caught a pass. He didn't slip. He just fell down. I'm catching a ball, and I'm not bringing my legs. I'm not running. I'm just falling down. I don't think he's scared. He don't want to get hit. Bobby, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, look at that one play, Steve. I have to say, it was definitely in the second half. He caught a pass, and I'm telling you, he just went dead leg.
Right.
And the ball wasn't that low. It wasn't that. He could have caught that ball and continued to run.
At least five more yards.
Yeah, he's saving himself, wanting to avoid the hit. And it was like, a 12-yard gain, but it could have been like, get the yak. What about the yards after the catch? What about a receiver, like, wanting, threaten the defense that, I'm going to catch the ball and I'm going to break tackles and then take it to the house? No, I was fortunate. Eric Martin, he'd say, don't worry about those guys across the middle. If you can get it in there, throw it to me, I'm going to run them over. We ain't got nobody like that. No, they catch it, they want to fall down. So,
what do you think about the criticism of linebacker Pete Werner?
Now, they paid Pete Werner, so I don't think he's going nowhere. I think he has a ways to go to get on the level of DeMario Davis. If you look at what he actually did today, he was
five tackles.
Yeah, he was tied. I think he had a better first game against the Cardinals than he did this game. So, he had a tackle for loss, a couple of passes defended. I mean, put it this way, DeMario Davis has been all pro. Will Pete Werner ever be all pro? I'd say not only no, but hell no. So, I mean, you can't have everybody all pro, but to say, like, who do you truly have that people would want? Like when you look at, if they weren't on our team, who would they start for another team? I would say McCoy, our center.
And, Alvin.
And then Alvin. But we even said this. If he was on the Eagles, he wouldn't start. He'd be in the rotation with Saquon Barkley.
Right.
So it depends. But, like, you could say McCoy, Alvin Kamara. I think what DeMario Davis has done in the Saints uniform, hell yeah, he's all pro. DeMario Davis would be one of those guys. I think younger Cam Jordan would be those guys, but it's not more potential. You can go through the whole roster. I know it's not more than a handful, and it might be on their handful.
I feel like the need for speed, Shaheed has a place somewhere on someone's roster.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But not a number one,
no,
number two.
No,
because he's running back punt returns for a touchdown. And then, yeah, he definitely, if you keep
him. He's a weapon, right.
You keep him four or five receivers, and he's gotten better as a route runner, and he's producing. No, who we need to produce more would be Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson. I think to me, Rashid Shaheed, 5 targets, 4 catches. I know he had that long gain of 39. He scored a touchdown. No, we need more because think about this. Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson got targeted 19 times and they had 11 catches. That should be like 15, 16 catches out of 19 targets.
No, and you'll be screaming up in the press box, help your quarterback.
Yes, help out Spencer. Spencer Rattler. Oh, Bobby just taking over the quarterback. No, I'm telling you. Spencer Rattler, I'm not saying he's even the future. But right now, if we have a better supporting cast, and little things like, come on, kicker, help out your quarterback. Come on, groupie.
I just don't like the narrative right now that, yes, Spencer Rattler is 0-8. You can't avoid that, but everyone wants to say that this guy is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's not getting a lot of help.
No, you have to look at supporting cast, and he might not end up being a starter, but Spencer Rattler.
He's not hurting the team right now.
Spencer Rattler is an NFL quarterback. He's more of an NFL quarterback than Chase Daniel. You remember who we had from Missouri? Backed up Drew Brees, made over $40 million.
Great at holding the clipboard.
And played like 12, 13, 14 years. Yeah, Spencer Rattler is one of those guys. Now, I think he hopefully just gets that monkey off his back and comes away with a win.
I thought today would be the day, Cannon.
Well, we had to start out winning 10-0. I'm telling you, at the beginning, we came out the gate smoking. We didn't take advantage of the opportunity.
Hurting ourselves.
If you look what happened, Kamara plus 5. You look where we had, like, Rattler to Rashid, plus 39. We had the 22-yard line, Kamara plus 4. Rattler to Olave. Now the ball's a little behind him. That was for a touchdown, incomplete. Then Gruby missed a 40-yard field goal. Okay, the next time we get the ball, Kamara plus 6. Kamara plus 13. Rattler to Juwan Johnson. I wrote, catch the ball. It was meant to be behind him. When he threw it like back shoulder, that's because where the defender was. Catch the ball. So then you had incomplete back-to-back to Olave. We didn't have playmakers to help out their quarterback.
No, it's just too much of the sad story of a series of unfortunate events.
No.
From the penalties to the drops to the missed field goals.
Because when we missed the field goal, Matt Jones, 3 incompletions. They went, we forced a 3-and-out. We forced a 3-and-out. And then when all of a sudden we didn't take advantage of our second possession, McCaffrey went plus 5, plus 2 to net. We had a penalty, interference on Isaac Yadam. And then the receiver fell down. The Carl Granderson ended up getting a sack. The key on that drive, they had a 3rd and 14, like Coach Moore was saying. When you got 3rd and double digits, if your defense is really kicking ass, they should never get the first down. We should be giving the quarterback the business, and you want to keep the ball in front of you. That was 3rd and 14. Jones to Pearsall. Plus 15. And you remember Diggs got a penalty hands to the face.
Right.
And then they had the plus 37-yard line. McCaffrey plus 8. And then that drive continued. Mac Jones scrambled for 12. All of a sudden, he hits Farrell for an 11-yard touchdown. And that's when they went 14 plays, 80 yards, right on the 8 minutes. They missed the extra point, but we're losing 6 to nothing. And I'm telling you, we had them 3rd and 14, and they made it. That never should happen.
Taking a break here. We're hanging out at the Swamp Room, 5400 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Cajun Ken and I are enjoying some wings here. Stop by and say hey. We're taking a break here at the Point After. Be back with even more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hanging out with a great crowd here at the Swamp Room in Metairie. The Saints fall 26-21 to the San Francisco 49ers, but the Houdat Nation still comes out strong supporting us here. Going to get to our Oakland Heart, our Turkin text line right now. Going to Craig in Houma on the line, wants Dr. Hebert to help him through a little therapy session. What you got for us, Craig?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Been better.
Look, the Saints, the thing is internal, is that the Saints' offensive line and defensive line, they got to revamp it. On third down, they need to go with a hybrid, some speed or something. I just think the game plan was horrible because Pat Jones could not move. They should have blitzed him a whole lot more. You know, he stood
That's a good point.
Like a,
That's a good
like
point.
A statue. He stood back there with, I mean, he could just step into it. And so every throw he made, he could just step into it. So compared to Spencer, he's throwing under the rest. And he did a hell of a job. And they want to blame, it ain't Spencer, it's the offensive line, the defensive line. When the Saints, you know the Saints got to pass the ball, they're horrible at pass blocking, and they're horrible at pressuring the quarterback.
Well, yeah, you've talked about it a ton, Cannon. They've invested in the O-line, though.
No, and I've been talking about that in training camp. That was the most disappointing thing, considering, you know, and I said this, that only the Chargers and the Saints, potentially that's beginning of August, late July, like four out of their five potential starters are all first-round picks.
Yep.
And then
our superstar, you mentioned Eric McCoy, he's the second-rounder.
Yeah, he's the second-rounder. So when you look at it, and then we played the Rams, though, I mean, I said, boy, if we had to play the Rams, we can't run up the middle or anything. They weren't blocking. But anyway, that has to be a strength, winning in the trenches. And right now, it seems like unless we dialing up a blitz or a stunt, and with Coach Brandon Staley, we're not getting a sack. Like Alante Taylor coming off the edge. And really, I mean, I tell you, because the 49ers, they don't have Jerry Rice. The 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, I think he was overrated. He's hurt. He's not even playing. The 49ers receivers, you don't even know who they are. No, that's a weak link. I'm telling you, the 49ers are not. You look at the weakness of their team. You know, not strong at every position. They're cornerbacks and wide receivers.
Their main guy, the tight end, George Kittle's out.
Yeah, but
also Brandon Ayuk, their number one receiver, out.
Yeah, he's overrated. They wouldn't have paid him all that money in hindsight, but he's out. That's what I'm saying. If you look at their
receivers, Debo's not around anymore.
He got traded to with the Commanders.
Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, Pearsall. You know, they from University of Florida. He was the one member that got shot, and there's a tragic thing last year. So they think he could be the guy. Now he had over 100 yards against the Seahawks, but you don't really view the 49ers right now that you fear their receiving core or even their cornerbacks. And we did not take advantage of that enough. And I'd say yes, we gave Mac Jones way too much time.
Like we joke, make it a sandwich back there.
Yeah, exactly. Make it a sandwich. We're not making him. I'm not saying NFL quarterbacks are scared, but
he's not looking over his shoulder worried about who's coming.
We're not making him antsy.
Not at all. Way too comfortable.
And so, next week against Sam Darnold, he's going to be kind of like Mac Jones. He ain't going to be running around. You know, when you're looking at – now, I know we play Buffalo. I know Josh Allen.
No, I don't want to hear about that even right now.
No, I mean – now, I'm not talking about him even scrambling. He might just take off and run, and you can't tackle him. So, yeah, but that's going to be another game. But, yeah, I think we as fans, we tend to follow the football, but we are not winning consistently, like, in the trenches as far as impacting the game on the offensive and defensive line. Now, again, offensive line, I'm excited because I think that we're trending the right way. We are averaging over 4 yards a run. You know, and it'd be like, I'd be worried about if we were only like 3.2 or something.
Kelvin Banks, though, sure had a welcome to the NFL moment against Bosa.
Yeah, he would do it. Bosa would do that to a lot of people. Bosa's one of those, I don't think he really wrecked the game, and he has that kind of ability to have that kind of impact. You know, but he had 9 total tackles, 3 unassisted. He had a sack. Well, I guess he did, Steve. I mean, now that I'm looking at this, I didn't want to give credit. He had 9 total tackles, a sack, 2 quarterback hurries, and a tackle for a loss. Well, those two guys, they're all pro. When you look at Fred Warner, their linebacker.
Right, 2 studs.
And they've always been studs. The ones that came out of nowhere, and he was a rookie. I want to say he's like from Western Kentucky or something. Stout. Look at that. I don't even know his first name. It starts with a U. Look and see where he's from, Stout. He ended up having a sack, a quarterback hurry, a tackle of loss. Now, that's not a household 49er name. I want to say he's from Western Kentucky or something. Look, Steve, you got that? See where he's from? But that's a guy, considering that a rookie and playing with a lot of confidence. And then B. Huff. Whoever B. Huff is.
Upton Stout.
Upton Stout. Isn't he a Western Kentucky kid? Where did he go to college? Look at that right
now. You got it, yeah. Initially North Texas and then transferred to Western Kentucky.
A Hilltopper. I mean, not Kentucky
third round
Wildcat.
Pick for them.
Yeah, third round pick. And then B. Huff. Then look at B. Huff. He ended up having a sack. He had 4 total tackles, 3 unassisted. He also had a quarterback hurry and a tackle for a loss. And he also forced a fumble, even though they didn't recover it. But, yeah, so those are players that you haven't heard of, Stout and Huff, but you've heard of Fred Warner and Nick Bosa.
We're here at the Point After at the Swamp Room in Metro, folks. Make sure you stop by, say hey, or sound off on our talk and text line to the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. Before we head to break, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Taking that break now. We'll be back with even more right after this on the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. Who dat? Yes, indeed, folks. We got another hour to go here at the Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Make sure you come by and say hey, grab a nice burger, some wings. We've been hanging out, enjoying our time, Cajun Cannon, despite another Saints loss today, falling to the San Francisco 49ers, 26-21 in the Dome. The black and gold now 0-2 on the season. Now happy to be welcomed with Albert Boez from the Swamp Room joining us now, talking about a little event going on here as well, besides some great hospitality here. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. We were just talking about great burgers, great wings, and all around just a great atmosphere in the Swamp Room.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So Albert, what was because this is you've always been noted for your burgers here at the Swamp Room. That's world famous.
I appreciate it.
So what came about, like, adjusting the menu and just talk about the expansion or how the refurbished Swamp Room, how that all came about?
Yeah, so we've been in this location about 6 years. Obviously, one of the things that I've been having about 2 years. So one of the things that we were able to take on is wanted to make sure that the burger was the staple of the menu. But, you know, people that come here all the time, there's quite a few other items they're enjoying on it, too. The wings, which you tried.
Right. We added very good.
Added a chicken sandwich, and we're doing some other things. Obviously, partner with you guys, and we got some other stuff. We're partnering with some local animal shelters and whatnot.
Well, you're doing good not only in the building, but out of the building. Animal shelters means, hey, who doesn't love their pets, right?
Yeah. So, actually, starting on the 23rd, we're going to, for 12 straight weeks, we're partnering with Metairie Humane Shelter. And what we're doing is we're going to try to raise about 15 to 20 grand for them. They got about 60 animals. They just took in almost all puppies. They're an overflow shelter for the whole state, so they take in dogs before they go to kill shelters.
Okay.
So we're going to do a trivia here starting on the 23rd every Tuesday for 12 straight weeks. And then there's going to be 50-50 raffles. There's going to be trivia. There's going to be a bunch of prizes and stuff, all while we're trying to raise money for a great cause.
You know, Albert, when you look at it, you say a great cause. How did you, because you're just an animal lover, a dog lover, how did this come about? So, there's a lot of different charities.
100%. So we did a partnership with them last year, and it went really, really well. So it was about a year ago, and it came around. I said, let's reach back out to them. And when I reached back out to them, I find out they had just taken in about 30 to 40 more dogs. And so instead of doing another one-off event, we said, how do we raise as much as possible for this shelter? And then that's when we started talking about doing the trivia and doing it weekly and then guaranteeing them a certain amount of money. And it's not just from that. There will be dogs here to be able to rescue. It's almost all puppies, too. There's a vast majority of puppies.
The puppies.
So I got them in little alligator costumes. They're going to be running around. We got a bunch of stuff going on. But they do a great job at a Metairie Humane Shelter. It's a complete nonprofit. Everything is... go straight to the dogs, and it doesn't have to be just you come here, eat, and donate the profits. You can, if you got some extra food or whatever else,
right.
Take anything in to help this lady Jamie out who runs the shelter.
So I've seen every Tuesday night.
Every Tuesday night, starting the 23rd for 12 weeks.
Okay,
we're gonna have big running prizes. We're gonna have a 50-50. All of it all goes to the animal shelter. Trying
awesome.
To really feel, if we can get 15 to 20 grand.
So the wolf.
Yeah, Wolf. Raising a Wolf is the name of the event, yes.
Raising a Wolf. Yeah, so Albert, what is your, I'm not going to get into involved in your personal life, but what is your background? Are you from New Orleans? Or
yeah, born and raised.
So where did you go to high school? You don't have that,
Archbishop Shaw.
Oh, you're Shaw? Oh,
yes.
Shaw on the West Bank.
Shaw on the West Bank, born and raised in Merle, graduated from LSU.
Okay. Also, you're a Tiger Saints
go
fan,
Tigers.
Huh?
Stressed out like everybody else.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. So, yeah, as long as doing that was a big win for LSU. And you know what I liked about LSU's win is that the defense.
That's right.
What the defense was able to do, whenever you get those takeaways, it just seems like the fans get more excited.
I like that 2 years ago, Napier fired Corey Raymond. And Corey Raymond got to get his revenge with 5 interceptions this week against the Gators.
We definitely turned back to DBU.
Yes.
To convert those takeaways into points.
Yeah, the points to touchdowns for sure. Tulane, it's good if Tulane, LSU, and the Saints win. Now we just got to get the Saints, turn things around. I was just going to have a little patience. Patience is a virtue. No one has that today. So
look, we've had a chance both weeks.
Yes.
So we'll go down and win.
Yep.
So if we can just tighten a little few things up, maybe make a few extra field goals and see if we can't pull some out.
Yeah, we got to do bend but don't break, force field goals, don't give up touchdowns, and just get off to a faster start. Like I said, today we could have been up 10-0. And then, so they're having to play catch-up instead of us. Keep fighting, then we're playing catch up. And, we have a little margin of error, and Groupie, hey, we count on Groupie, you're an NFL kicker. So that has to be like extra point. You got to make your field goals. And he was outstanding in training camp. I've never witnessed anything like it. Where he made it, I want to say it was 53 or 54.
And the one miss was in the rain and wind.
Yes. And so now, he could be challenged in Seattle. Who knows? It could rain in Seattle. It's an outdoor stadium. Could be live and loud, but it could be where he's perfect. It's just the life of a kicker.
The Saints fans need to show up, too. I was at the game. It was 3-1, 49er fans, the Saints fans.
It hurt.
It was the most I've ever seen attending a Saints game.
It seemed like it was a neutral site, for sure.
That's right.
And if you're in that number and you're a Who Dat Nation member, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money, because you spend your money on the tickets. Everybody's into capitalism and stuff, and I'm supporting, the Saints, but then I can tell them that I have to use my tickets and stuff, because, it is expensive, but it's just not a good look when you're in enemy territory and it's like you had a neutral, home field, and then it's like a neutral site.
And that's what the feeling was today at the game.
Yeah, and the last time I kind of felt like this when the Lions came to town, but that seemed like that was more Michigan people.
Here, there was way too many Louisiana people with a 49ers and Mississippi people with a 49ers jersey.
No, I lost it. The Saints are in the red zone, and all of a sudden we start hearing chants of defense.
The Uber driver, when I ran out the stadium to get back here, was dressed fully in the 49ers.
And he's
born and raised here.
Born and raised here. He just on the bandwagon. Listen, if like your grandma, your grandpa, are you from California? You live there? No.
Agreed.
If you're born and raised here, come on. You might say the 49ers are my second favorite team. How can the Saints not be the first team?
If you're born and raised here, though, how even the Niners considered a favorite?
No, because they just a front runner. That's I'll tell you, because the Joe Montana. And then you had a number of Louisiana fans love the Steelers. You know what people love? They love winners.
That's right.
Oh, that's
and so that's why they were on the Steelers bandwagon, 49ers bandwagon.
Alabama fans.
And even the Cowgirls, even Dallas. You know, when you go back in the 90s, or they might go way back, you know, Roger Staubach and all that. When you say, what have you done for me lately? That Dallas ain't won anything. And today I'm miserable because the Saints lost and Dallas won in overtime. So I'm going to have nightmares tonight. I'm going to toss and turn for sure.
So, Albert, besides we talked about the great drinks, the great food, awesome atmosphere here. Folks can, you know, if you're not going to the game, might as well stop by the Swamp Room. We got tons of TVs here to check out everything, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping that, you know, and the Saints have been competitive. It's not.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
The game's been.
Yeah, black and gold headquarters here.
Yeah, that's where we try to be. Obviously, great food and drinks, and then you know with 20-something TVs, and you know we also showed the Canelo fight last night. That
nice.
Was big.
Right.
It was a great night. And we had an LSU win, rolled straight into the fight, so it was a great night all around.
Yeah, and you know, no one. I guess say 50-50. I'm going to beat the Cardinals. Not, 50-50, we can beat the 49ers. They got Brock Purdy's hurt. Kittle's hurt.
Right.
But I get, we definitely under the radar at Seattle and at Buffalo.
No doubt.
So we might shock the world. You know, like, the Saints have no chance. They're going to go to Seattle. You know, a hostile environment. But the pressure's on the Seahawks or even like the Bills. Because no one's expecting the Saints right now to go to Seattle and win that game or the Bills. Because it was kind of a 50-50 deal with the Cardinals and 49ers. But we won the short end of the stick. It was so close, but so far.
How has Seattle been this year?
Well, the 49ers won right at the end. They had to come up with some big plays to win that game.
Okay.
Seattle's going to be in the thick of things, I think, in the NFC West.
And then they won in Pittsburgh today, 31-17.
Yeah, so they beat Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, 31-17.
Correct.
So, yeah, no, it's going to be tough. And it's very loud. You know, Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City, the Superdome, we're rolling, it's loud. Seattle's very loud. How they build that stadium, the noise doesn't escape. You have to almost do hand signals, it can be so loud. So, it's going to be a hostile environment, and then Buffalo. Buffalo, they're like, hey, it's an hour year this year. See, the Bills, right now, the Bills are like Super Bowl or bust. It's not like just to be relevant. For them, it's like, no, we got to go to the Super Bowl and win it. They went to four straight Super Bowls and never won. So the Bills
four straight,
are,
right.
Yeah, the Bills are like, no, we with Josh Allen, we got to go to the Super Bowl and win it. You know, now they got to get surpassed Pat Mahomes or whether, you know, Joe Burrow or whatever it might be. But right now, we're just trying to be relevant where I think where are we at in our rebuilding stage. Can we be relevant and be a wild card or go to the postseason? I think that's where we're at.
And it's interesting, too, because if the Saints are bad and we get a top pick next year, what quarterback would you even choose right now?
Great question.
As no one stands out, the guy to me that's played the most consistent with the Saints is going to be a nice draft coming up with all the top quarterbacks for the 2026 draft. I don't know, Carson Beck. Out of University of Miami, plays at the U, but they ran him off at Georgia.
Right.
But you know Carson Beck, you know this story? He had a Lamborghini at University of Georgia, name, image, and likeness and all. So the first week he's at University of Miami, he got his Lamborghini stolen and his girlfriend. I mean, think about that. He's
welcome to the U.
So, the U's international, so I'm sure they have a few other girls there.
Yeah.
He can find a new girlfriend.
want to remind everybody, Raising the Wolf for Rescue, a weekly benefit, nights at the Swamp Room, supporting Metairie Humane every Tuesday night right here. Come check it out and get yourself a new pet for the house.
We like that.
All right, Albert. Thanks for the time, Albert. Appreciate you and the hospitality here. Taking a break here at the Point After at the Swamp Room. We'll be back with even more folks. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? Back here on the Point After at the Swamp Room, reminding everybody, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. After today's game, current donations are at $4,210. Thank you, Venture Global. We're going to check in on our talk and text line, Cajun Cannon, and you know who's on the line? Hollywood. What you got for us tonight, Hollywood?
Hollywood Swinger, what's up?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood.
Doing all right.
What are you thinking?
Eating wings.
Hey, Bobby. I knew the Saints were going to lose that game. There's no way they were going to drive that ball 9 yards down San Francisco. Their defense is too good.
Well, no, but how about if we just needed a field goal? That's why Groovy got to make that field goal at the beginning.
Right.
What if the score would have, could have, should again? What if it had been 26-24? So then you just got to get in field goal range. No, it's hard to drive 90 yards against any team, or it should be hard. But that's why all these points or opportunities count. You got to get off to a fast start. I think I'm being fair. Again, we started out the game ready to play. We had an opportunity to be up like 10-0. Instead of chasing points, we needed to be up. Now, they missed their extra points, so we're only down 6-0. And then, they kick a 44-yard field goal, and it's now 9-0. So then we drive 12 plays, 84 yards to make it 9-7. But I would like it where if we could take the lead and step up where we're not still chasing points. You remember when Rattler hit Rashid, the 3-yard touchdown, they went 10 plays, 47 yards. Now it's 16-14. Our defense, that'd be the time, can you force a 3-and-out?
Yep.
You know what happened on McCaffrey? A +7 missed tackle by Alante Taylor. Who are we counting on? And all of a sudden, Pinero kicks a 46-yard field goal. So now it's 19-14. All of those points matter. The bottom line is, Hollywood, we're not good enough to take advantage.
To hurt ourselves.
Yes, to hurt ourselves and not take advantage of almost ever opportunity. I mean, I think you would agree with that.
Hey, Bobby, the defense, I learned how to tackle better, huh?
Yeah, we missed tackles. They had a tackle last week, like Alante Taylor missing significant on a drive, like Justin Reed. You remember Justin Reed missed the tight end?
Yeah.
They ended up scoring a touchdown that drive. Now, good for Justin Reed. He acknowledged, I got to make that tackle. And that all comes into play. And like Coach Kellen Moore said, no, we have to be way better on third down. If you look today, that's unacceptable. They were 8 of 15, 53%. That you're not dictating the ebb and flow of the game when stuff like that happens. And that was kind of the case if you look at it against the Cardinals when all was said and done. And you look what occurred there. Okay, look at the Cardinals game. And I had wrote this. So I said, well, that's not good. They end up being like 6 of 13, 46%. But our defense is really working out. It has to be like in the 30s. For instance, if you look at same song and dances like this in the preseason, our offense against the Cardinals were 5 of 14, 35.5%. Well, today we 4 of 11, 36%. No,
unfortunately, that's too consistent.
No, that's not good. We need, again, flip that.
Yeah.
We need to be holding opponents to 35, 36% on third down. Then we need to be like high 40s or low 50 converting on third down.
Too many untimely penalties too, Cannon. Yeah, they cut down on the number today, but many times I'm telling you, we're behind the sticks again.
Yeah, it's just too hard to make it. We had them behind the sticks a couple of times. Whenever you got third and double digits, you have to come up big time. And we did not do that against the 49ers, even on significant drives, because like, for instance, that 3rd and 14, if you look at it really to start the game. Okay, right now, the first time, like I said, Matt Jones went 3 incompletions, and we should have been up by 10 points. We weren't, but we forced a 3 and out. And then all of a sudden, when they got the ball the next time, they had 3rd and 14. And then Jones to Pearsall, plus 15. We should have been off the field. Then they end up going 14 plays, 80 yards, to be up 6-0, and they missed the extra point, like I said. But those are the kind of situations. When you got them where you want them, if you're playing outstanding on first and second down, you got to come up big on third down. That's the money down. Because you come up big on third down, you know what that means? The other team's punting.
They're getting the ball back.
We're getting the ball back, so you get more possessions. Now, how many possessions you get a game? You have to break all that down. You know, like you say, an average of 65 plays, give or take. You want to be 65 plus going forward. But there's too many things that occur when you look at it. Just if you don't have no interest in the Saints or the 49ers, if you just objectively look at how the game unfolds, and you could see, well, that's not winning football. That's not winning football. You know what was winning football this game versus last game? The balance we had. 34 passing attempts, 30 rushing. That's
even
balance.
Stevens.
Coach Kellen Moore, there was not balance like that the first game against the Cardinals. We threw way too many damn times. Now you have to look, well, you can't get wrong. We're trying to play catch up, whatever. So you look at all that, and then the one thing that we were good in the red zone. Oh, and Spencer Rattler was not good in the red zone in practice or preseason, anything except, you know, the Jacksonville drive at the end. The Jaguars tied the game. We were 3-for-3. No, that is outstanding. But then we weren't good on defense red zone. That's when you're bending but not breaking and you're forcing field goals. Well, that's a push to me. That's a wash. We end up being 3-for-3, 100%, where they were 2-for-2, 100%.
Right.
So they're just a push. So you could break down all of this and they can kind of figure out. And then you throw in there, okay, what do we are after two games? You think you'd be at least plus or minor and minus in the turnover margin. No, we stuck on zero. It's not bad, but it's not good. What we need to do is, like, you know, you're going to have a turnover now and then. It's better if we don't have a turnover. We didn't have a turnover against the Cardinals. Now we had that one fumble by Kamara today.
Yeah.
But then you got to get two back.
Right.
Because if you look at teams that are truly winning, I'm not saying even to be in double digits. But when the game's all said and done.
Got to be plus something.
Yeah. Could we be, like, plus 8? Plus 9.
Ooh, you're making me sweat. Woo.
No, and you have
flush.
No,
thinking about it.
And you having that, then that's how you win double digits and you end up being relevant.
Taking a break here on The Point After. You can sign off on our WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Breaking, we'll be back with Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler's post-game audio. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back here at The Point After at the Swamp Room here in Metairie. Could stop by Veterans Boulevard, 5400 is the address. Saints falling 26-21 to the San Francisco 49ers in week 2 of the season. Black and gold now 0-2 on the season. Poor Spencer Rattler now 0-8 as the starting quarterback. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss in the Superdome.
Catching up with all your emotions and thinking back on the game, what's standing out to you most? Is it a missed opportunity? Is it the fight in the second half?
We got to start fast, you know. You know, missed a touchdown early on to Olave. So that was a big play, big moment. Got to have that one back. Just starting faster, you know, finding the rhythm. Thought we ran the ball well all day. Man, we're close, though. We're close. You know, these games come down to the wire, and got to do what winning teams do. You know, that's what Kellen was telling us, and that's cleaning up. You know, I thought our procedure was much better this week. Didn't have as many penalties. You know, we moved the ball well all game. Just got to start faster, you know, in those first three or four drives, and, you know, that changes the game. So back to work, but, you know, that's what we need to get better at, improve at, starting faster.
The one thing about that you brought up, what happened at that? How close was that? Did you feel like it was on your end or his end or half a half? Like, what did you, on that count play, what did you think?
No, that's such a timing route. You know, the ball's got to be out before he even cuts, which it was. Just a little too to the left. I think I had a little pressure, but, you know, we make those throws. You got to make those throws. I can make that throw any day.
You talked about the slow starts. What do you think is the main cause of that?
You know, I got to look back at it. I can't you know, I got to look at the tape and you know, see what we did. But, you know, our emphasis in this game was stay ahead of the chains because they're going to use up a lot of time offensively on their side. So we got to start good on first down, stay in third and manageable. I think those drives, we were in third and long a lot of the time. And, you know, it's hard to convert on those downs when they're playing with depth, you know, in third and long. But, you know, staying ahead of the chains, I think that's the key.
With the 49ers fans over here, did you guys have to go like to a sound
count? No, I just had to be really loud. You know, they got, you know, they traveled well, and you know, they had some, you know, they were loud at one point. So, but you know, we were loud enough, and I'm happy we didn't have any procedural penalties.
Just the last drive, the fumble, and the last play. What did you see there? And just trying to make a.
Yeah, I mean, got to have it, fourth down, you know, try to step up. I think it was Bosa back there and slipped a little bit and, you know, they made a good play, you know, and, you know, those sting, but got to have it on that fourth down. You know, we were confident that we were going to drive the ball down and defense gave us two shots at the end. Got to figure out a way to, you know, finish right there.
You seemed a lot more comfortable in the second half. What allowed you to get in the rhythm and be able to throw a couple of touchdowns?
I mean, we felt comfortable in the first half. We just had to find a rhythm. You know, I liked how we came out aggressive. You know, I wanted to be aggressive today. Hit a nice shot to Shahid over the top early. Got a you know, finish on that drive. So I thought, I love the play calling. I love how aggressive we were. You know, was there a few spots where maybe I could have dumped it down, you know, and wanted to be a little aggressive? Sure. But you got to play your game. But at the same time, take what they give you. But I liked how we were aggressive towards our shots today.
You feel like that was a more of a kind of an adjustment from the first week, or did San Francisco just like give you guys the looks that allowed you to be aggressive?
Yeah, they gave us the looks, and I mean, a little bit of both. You know, we wanted to have more explosive plays this game, and I think we did. But yeah, they gave us the looks for them and hit a few of them. Got to find a way to hit more.
What did you think of the reversal on the play with Alvin?
Such a bang bang play, you know, it's a tough play. I think it was Warner made a great play on it. You know, that's all really I got to say about that one.
You mentioned slipping a little on that last play. It seemed like that happened a few times, but was the turf something that you're getting used to today?
Just got to keep your feet underneath you. You know, I think I don't got, you know, much to say on that one, but yeah, I mean, you're going to slip in some, you know, some cases, but it's such a reaction-based, you know, in that pocket. You got to just keep your feet under you and try to stay up and not slide.
I just didn't know if this surface in particular was
getting... It's a little slippery, but you got to overcome it.
Kelsey said y'all were trying to... is it a pure progression play, that fourth down?
Yep.
What, I mean, how did you give it away? But, I mean, what were y'all trying to get across there?
Yeah, I mean, it was either, you know, take the shot to Olave or get to the shallow coming across, or if there was a gap, run it, you know, for me. So thought they played some good games up front, kind of got back there quick and tried to step up and slipped a little bit. And I think it was Bosa, you know, made a good play.
Spencer, would you say that this is probably your best game here?
I mean, yeah, you know, but you want to win at the end of the day. You know, we play this game to win. We play together. We battle every week. And, you know, we're so close as a team. I think we're doing the right things throughout the week. You know, our coaches have us prepared. We got to go out there and execute at a high level from start to finish, you know. But I think there's growth in all of our games, you know. But just got to keep building. Got to keep building. It's that simple.
How big or special is it to go back to Jamal in a moment like that after, you know, you guys weren't able to capture that moment?
Yeah, no. He made a big time catch. You know, they pressured us a little bit right there, and knew where I was going to go with the ball, and he was ready and made a big time catch in a big moment, and made some other plays throughout the game as well. And yeah, he's a baller, and got other guys that are making big plays as well, which is awesome.
He made such an emphasis in the offseason not wanting to start fast. To see him kind of do it. What does that say about him? What have you noticed from him that's allowed him to start fast?
Who? Oh yeah, just, you know, he's a team guy. He's a team first guy. He doesn't care if he has one touch or 10 touches. He's going to play the same way every time. You know, he's going to make those big time plays. And if that's in the block game, if that's in the screen game, if that's in the pass game, he's going to step up and make those plays.
Do you take any positives out of this? Just, you said a couple times how close you guys were. Obviously,
better overall than last week offensively. Like, do you take positives out of that? Maybe not right this minute. Yeah. Will you take positives out of that?
I mean, you know, there is growth. You know, I think that's a thing, but you want to win at the end of the day. You know, it's a close game again, and all these games come down to little details, and seems like a lot of these games come down to the wire. So we got to do what winning teams do and just on both sides of the ball and attack those moments when we have them, you know, ride that momentum and convert and make plays to keep us in the game and, you know, get us to win these games. So I think that's going to be key going forward. Just got to keep working.
There's a couple moments in this game where you kind of use your legs. Can you kind of talk about just that ability that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I love the, you know, if they want to drop out and leave an open lane, I'll take it. And then I love the, you know, fourth down call, Kellen called with a little RPO. Same on the touchdown to Shahid. You know, I thought two great play calls. We executed them well. And, you know, in moments like that, you kind of got to take over and go get that first down if you have to. And, you know, that brings a little juice to the team, to the crowd. So I want to do that more.
Kellen Banks seems like a pretty soft-spoken, respectful guy. Mm-hmm. Off the field. In everybody's face after the radio, it looked like he went face-to-face with Bosa.
Yeah.
Just his demeanor on the field, and especially being tested with a guy like Bosa.
Yeah. He's a dog. I mean, for a rookie to go head-to-head with Bosa, you know, one of, if not the best edge rusher in the league, it's impressive. I mean, it's a handful to deal with. You know, I thought we had a good plan protection-wise. You know, they're going to make some plays. You know, they got great players on that defense. It's a great scheme, obviously well-coached as well. But Kelvin is a heck of a player, and I wouldn't want another guy out there. He's our guy, him and Tally, on those edges, and they both did a great job. And, yeah, you know, it's great to see those guys run over after that late hit, you know, to know they got your back, and I'll do the same for them, you know.
Coming back-to-back game for Gunther down the wire, what does that do for a team mentally? Like, do you rally around it? Do you have to be conscious to avoid not letting it linger the next time it may happen again? Like, how do you guys kind of process it?
I mean, we see where we're at. You know, I think that's the thing. We see where we're at. We see how close we are in these games. And like I said earlier, we got to keep harping those details, keep executing early on so we don't have to be in those situations late in the game. But, you know, a lot of these games are going to come down to the wire. We're built for that, and we know we can go out there and finish and win games.
Going into week three, 0-2, how are you speaking to your guys to keep them mentally sharp, ready to go as the leader of the team? Going to a big week three, how are you going to be able to keep you guys' spirits up?
Yeah, it's not an issue with this team. You know, it's early in the season. We're two games in. It's a long season. We got a lot to build on. You know, we're coming right back to work tomorrow. We're not flinching. You know, these guys were built for it. So I wouldn't say the vibes are down at all. You know, we got a lot ahead of us, and you know, we know what we can be capable of as a group, and we're going to go attack.
Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler post game after the black and gold fall 26-21 to the San Francisco 49ers. KJ Cannon, you'll probably get some of it tomorrow on the second guest show at the Silver Slipper Casino. I don't want to hear anybody complaining about Spencer Rattler being not a good enough quarterback. Today, 25 of 34, 73.5 completion percentage, 207 yards. Was sacked three times, but had three touchdown passes, had a QB rating of 118.
Yeah, you have a QB rating of 118. That's
no
winning football. And you didn't turn it over. It wasn't like he had a fumble or an interception. No, Spencer Rattler's not the reason why we didn't win. Now, you know, when you're the quarterback, you're gonna get a lot of the glory, and then you're gonna get a lot of the blame. So Spencer Rattler's very mature how he does his interviews, and he's able to handle it, and how he you know, takes questions from the media. So no, right now, no, Spencer Rattler's the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. And he'll be the quarterback against the Seahawks. He'll be quarterback against the Bills. And I think he'll be the quarterback against the Giants. Now, if you look at how teams do this, this is past history. You might say, well, who's truly the future?
Right.
Well, right now, the future's now, and so Rattler is the quarterback. But then you always look at, like, how things are going by the time you get to the bye week. When do you have the bye? That's like in November.
Week 11. Yeah, we got a while.
No, so I'm telling you, I think both quarterbacks might end up playing, but Spencer Rattler's going to get every opportunity. If Spencer Rattler keeps playing like he's playing now, if we 0-8 or something, then maybe we need to stir things up. But I'm just telling you, Spencer Rattler, I'd be surprised if he, you know, even though we're not winning, if he's, let's say we'd be 0-6 or something, I still think Spencer Rattler might be the guy until that around that bye week.
You come back off the bye, and guess what? Oh, who do you play? The Atlanta Falcons. Could be the debut of Shuck then.
And the strength of schedule is not
lightens up
compared to what we have at the beginning of the season.
Taking a break here on the Point After. Black and Gold falling 26-21 to the San Francisco 49ers. Now 0-2 on the season. When we get back, I'll ask the Cajun Cannon what's bugging Bobby. So stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here at the Point After, hanging out at the Swamp Room. 5400 of Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Make sure you drop by, say hey, great game day atmosphere. Folks being awesome too in this post game. Unfortunate, another loss for the Black and Gold at 26-21, but Saints fans so up strong. The team 0-2 now will be on the road next week playing at the Seattle Seahawks. We even have the Black and Gold leaving a little bit early, taking off on Thursday for Seattle as they prep for that West Coast game.
That's like a different country. Listen, are we going to be going to Seattle, the extreme northwest, and we're going to the extreme northeast in Buffalo, Niagara Falls, and all. When you think about it, it's not New York City. No, this is Western New York. So that's extreme as it gets in the NFL without going to play in Europe.
Yeah.
Or without playing internationally, or Brazil, whatever it might be. No, Seattle.
I was like, let's put them on different sides of the United States.
No, Seattle and Buffalo, that is extreme. And you know what else is extreme? I wanted to bring this up. Not that, and I'm not to my own horn, but I guess I am again. Didn't I speak highly of Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey before the game?
No doubt.
I said, all you young football fans, you're watching two of the best in NFL history. And I brought up a number of different categories of NFL history and what they've done the last eight seasons. I brought this up. Most games with 10-plus receptions by a running back in NFL history. Christian McCaffrey had 11 with 10-plus receptions in a game, and Alvin Kamara had 7. So now they didn't hit those totals, but I'm just saying where they're at. Now you look, most games with rushing touchdowns and receiving touchdowns in NFL history. Christian McCaffrey right behind Marshall Faulk, tied with Marshall Faulk at 15, Alvin Kamara with 12. So now what have you done for me lately? Last eight seasons. If you look at running back receptions of the last eight seasons, Alvin Kamara number one, Christian McCaffrey number two. Running back receiving yards the last eight seasons. Alvin Kamara number one with almost 5,000 yards, 4,774. Then Christian McCaffrey, even with his injuries, 4,500. Running back receiving touchdowns the last eight seasons. Now Christian McCaffrey has 30. Alvin Kamara has 25. So the point I'm making that we're going to have the rest of the season and you won't see this kind of production on both teams. Now, we're going to get to see Alvin Kamara, but the opponents we're playing, they don't have Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
And how important Christian McCaffrey is to that 49ers team and Brock Purdy. So, now, it's all about him. Can he stay healthy? Because I think Carolina, they overused him. They ran him into the ground a lot. But he's like a high-performance car, you know, Lamborghini, Ferrari, whatever. And then they're so good that, man, because they're so fast. Did you see some of those runs he make? And Alvin Kamara is not like Derrick Henry. You know, you look at Saquon.
He's not trucking people.
Yeah, but you look at those cuts he makes. Watch Christian McCaffrey. You might look how many times I took in my notes. Oh, that's plus 7. Or that's, you know, a plus 8. Run. I'm not talking about a run. But it looked like maybe would have got a yard or two, but then he just makes that quick cut. And then all of a sudden, Alvin does say, there's like
elusiveness.
It's a 7-yard game.
KJ Cannon, now time to get into what's bugging Bobby about today's game, brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. I know it's bugging you most, Bobby, as being 0-2, but what's bugging you about today's game?
Well, because I like to dictate the ebb and flow of a game is third down. This ain't good. If this continues, no, this could be the reason why I might say after the Seahawks, we were terrible on third down defense and we weren't good on third down offense. Just a simple one, especially if it's zero turnover margin.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not like we're not, like with LSU. How did LSU beat Florida? Florida threw 5 interceptions.
5 picks, man.
Hell yeah, we should win. LSU should have won by a lot more.
Yes.
But I'm just saying if we're still protecting the ball, we're not taking away how you can, the ebb and flow of a game. We need to be around 50%. That means we're converting. moving the chains, and then we got to get off the field. We cannot give up. We got to give up like 30-some percent on third down. So that's one thing that's bugging me. And it's bugging me because this other thing, we've got to be more opportunistic taking away the football. For us to win where we structured, we have to, like, win ugly. You might say, yeah, so what if we win 17-13? Do you know we finally scored over 20 points? We had gone 7.5 games. 7 games and then 2 quarters where I'm like, oh, don't tell me there's going to be 8 games where we haven't scored 20 or more points.
Right, so snap that.
You know, the last time we won, you know, when we beat the Giants, Brian Brzee blocked that kick. What was that, 14-11? Whatever, like, what? No, that's the kind of games we have to win. So then you'll be taking away the football. But today we scored 21 points, so I'm not using that anymore. We scored 21. That's why our defense, no, we scored 21. How about you give up 17? And you're not giving up 26. Because we're not going to be in those shootouts. If we're giving up high 20s, I consider 26 high 20s. Or 30 points, we ain't winning. Now, we might win. If Groupie makes that field goal and it's 26-24, then we're winning 27-26. That might happen occasionally, but no, that's not going to be a winning formula for us, I think, this season.
Taking a break here on The Point After at the Swamp Room. When we get back, we'll wrap things up. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, we're going to pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, week 2 ends, folks, with another unfortunate black and gold loss. The Saints falling 26-21 in the dome to the San Francisco 49ers. Now 0-2 on the season. KG Cannon, they're back at it next Sunday. That's a 3:00 kickoff in Seattle. We're going to say goodnight to the Houdat Nation as we get ready for a week 3 matchup.
Yeah,
hopefully we can get in that win column.
Yeah, we're under the radar right now. Just shock the world, come away with a win.
Send love to the Houdat Nation.
Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.